weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Cambridge
105. 5:32 and Isabel Clement. And also, I've completely messed up here because I got swapped out on the guest and I didn't get your second name, Alex.
Ingram,
thank you very much. Isabel Clement and Alex Ingram are here from Wheels for Wellbeing. They've been looking into the experience of disabled cyclists and are in Cambridge tonight to tell Cam Cycle all about it. From Cam Cycle, we've got Matt. Welcome, everyone. A packed studio as well. Thanks very much for coming in. You've been looking into the experiences of cyclists around the UK, and I know you're from London. I've cycled in London myself, and quite frankly, I wouldn't do it again, really, if I had to. It's bad enough for able-bodied cyclists. So what are the additional challenges that the disabled cyclist faces?
Well, thank you for having us.
You're most welcome.
We actually find, as disabled cyclists, that surprisingly, maybe, cycling can be a lot easier and a lot safer than not cycling. So personally, as a wheelchair user myself, I find that if I'm pushing along the pavement to get to any destination, it's actually, one, it's hard work, and I can't always rely on the cut of the curbs, you know, dropped curbs. Mm. There are A-boards, there are a lot of people on pavements. Actually, it's quite hard work to just get along and go to my destination. Whereas once I put the hand cycle attachment to the front of my wheelchair and I take to the roads, I'm a lot freer. It's a lot simpler. I've got a much bigger wheel at the front than I have on the little casters of my wheelchair, so I don't feel all the little bumps in and pavements are pretty rubbish, it has to be said, with not that roads are perfect, but it's a lot easier, a lot more fun as well, because I'm actually going at speed.
I was going to say, you could probably move a lot faster as well if you're not navigating A-boards, or heaven forbid, pedestrians who manage to get in the way.
That's right. So it's faster, it's more fun, and I'm actually getting exercise, whereas if I'm pushing along the pavement and just, you know, going a little bit and then having to stop and having to negotiate, I'm actually, you know, not getting my heart to really pump as it should. So I personally find, and we find when we talk to other disabled cyclists, that it's actually very liberating rather than the scary thing that people might think about. And even though it is in London, I mean, traffic in London doesn't go that fast anyway, and I seem to be given a lot of room.
I know there's lots of similarities with Cambridge, I guess, in that regard, and the speed of the traffic.
That's right. So no, it's not as scary as it may sound, and it's also much more convenient often as a disabled person.
Because you do hear, and we pick up on at Cambridge 105 through the news resources we have from Sky News, you do hear about deaths of cyclists in London, and, you know, a lorry turning in the wrong place, which has been responsible for more than a few of them. That's going to knock anybody off a cycle, isn't it?
Totally. Any death of any road user, whether it's a cyclist, a pedestrian, or a car driver, is appalling. And yes, we hear a lot about cyclist deaths. Sadly, there are more pedestrian deaths, actually. They just don't make the news anymore because there's so many. Mm. And car drivers bashing into each other and damaging each other, we don't even hear at all.
Oh, don't mention to me about car drivers bashing into people as they have been on the receiving end of that recently. So, not particularly good. And is London better or worse than most other places in the UK?
Ooh, now getting competition between cities here, but
I'm not trying not the usual Oxford Cambridge thing that we normally do. I'm just curious, really. So,
London is getting better. London is getting better. It has been getting serious amounts of investment over the last 3 to 4 years, and it's continuing, hopefully. So,
and I remember when I was there, which is a good dozen years or so ago now, they were beginning at that point to put in the odd cycle route here and there, so it was possible to avoid the traffic at some points.
Yes, and we are benefiting from the fact that Transport for London are putting in a huge programme of not only cycle superhighways for people who mostly commute long distances across the city, but also local, what they call quiet ways, which are not perfect, but which are routes which are along the slightly quieter roads, and cycling along them is being made easier by better signalling. And my organisation, Wheels for Wellbeing, are involved in advising Transport for London through the other people involved in delivering that, to ensure that any improvements which are made are made with disabled cyclists in mind, and use any users of non-standard cycling.
I guess, Alex, this is the problem, isn't it? We need to make sure that when we're planning for cyclists, we're planning for every cyclist, and a whole set of different bicycles, be it somebody who has an adapted wheelchair, adapted a bicycle because they're disabled, or maybe, as we see around the streets of Cambridge, those boxes which are on the front of cycles to help ferry the kids to school.
Yeah, I mean, there's an enormous range of cycles, and we like to think of ourselves as being part of a coalition we call Beyond the Bicycle, and that encompasses everything from cargo cycles that people might be using for business, things like Outspoken here, but also to get ferry children around. But also, it lets us talk easily about the fact that a tricycle needs width, and so does, say, someone in a hand cycle. And yes, that does need a slightly different design eye. We do quite a lot of work looking at things like, for example, for filters, which, you know, you've got a lot in Cambridge, we've got a lot in London. And if you've got something...
these bus stops, which are sort of slightly out, we're called now sort of island-type arrangements, where the cyclists go on one side, the bus stops on the other. And I suppose the distance has to be just right to, well, within reason, to fit in the widest of cycles.
Yes, you have to be... I mean, you've got the thing, you need just not just the width of the cycle, but as you go along, you naturally waver slightly from side to side. And so you need a little bit extra width. But it's one of those things where that makes it much easier to get around and to be able to be part of a normal flow of cycling, and to feel like you're really included within the whole flow of cycles. And, you know, for as long as I've been in London, I've been seeing people commute on a hand cycle actually around me. It's not something that's very much other. It's just not that you don't see it as often. And it's one of those things where we can see from our surveys that a lot of people are actually commuting on regular bicycles and using regular bicycles for, you know, their mobility aid to aid their disability. But that it's actually quite a prevalent thing already in London. It's just almost like it's invisible.
And you can't, you know, I guess you can't tell as to whether or not why the bike is adapted. It might be a, you know, you mentioned delivery cycles, for example. You know, cycles take all shapes and sizes if they're delivering parcels, or if they're delivering to children in the school in the morning. Matt, what do you think that Cambridge has to learn from the experience in London? We know there's a lot of work going on cycle routes around the city. You mentioned the bus stops a little earlier on. Is there still little things that can be put in to care for either the disabled cyclist or the outsized bicycle?
Thank you, Julian. Yes, there's many things that can be done. So Camp Cycle is a volunteer-led charity, and we promote more, better, safer, and inclusive cycling in the Cambridge region. And there are many projects out there, such as Milton Road or little back street cut-throughs that have, as Alex had mentioned, filters, which are ways that allow only cycles to pass through. But, for example, some of the filters are so restrictive that even bicycles have difficulty. I've seen mothers having to lift their children on a bicycle over certain types of barriers, and other ones are just completely exclusive of any type of cycle that is not a bicycle, so tricycles or hand cycles or anything like that. So one of the campaigns we're working on currently is to try and make sure that if these barriers have to be in place to keep out cars, that they're inclusive of people with adapted cycles.
That's the problem. You don't want to keep out bicycles at the same time. One thing which is in my capacity as a motorist, as well as a cyclist, the thing I always find strange, if there's a cycle path, I go on the cycle path. So why do some cyclists decide that even though there's a perfectly good cycle path to the side of the road, that they're gonna go on the road instead?
That's a very interesting
question.
And
there's enough of them. It's not just, you know, just one or two, as we know.
I think you have to look individually at the conditions. What we promote is if you build a cycle path that is attractive and usable, people will naturally want to use it, 99%. And And what you find in most of the cases where you see people on the road is that the cycle path has some problem. It's either blocked, obstructed, or unsafe.
So the road has the nice smooth tarmac on and nobody's bothered to upgrade the cycle path after the winter potholes.
There are potholes and also leaves and also priority. So, for example, if you want to save energy while you're cycling and you have to stop and start and watch out at each driveway, then it's not going to work. So people who do not want to have to stop and start at every driveway and junction will often say, if this is the quality of the cycle route, then I'll take my chances with the road.
Okay, now that kind of makes sense. Now, you're giving a talk, aren't you, tonight at Cam Cycle. Matt, whereabouts is it taking place?
It's at the Friends Meeting House on Jesus Lane. We'll have tea at 7:30 for an 8 p.m. Start.
Okay, is that presumably plenty of space for cycles outside?
Yes, and also the Park Street car park has space underground for more.
That's a very good thought. But what topics are you going to be bringing up, and in addition to what we've spoken about already?
So I guess one of the first things we'll be doing is to do a bit of myth busting with our audience, as in start to change the minds of people about what disabled people might look like, or who might be what they might be cycling, and in what numbers, etc. Some real facts and figures, and just sort of checking where people's views are of what a cyclist look like or doesn't look like, and then Alex will be talking about key infrastructure elements about, you know, if we are going, now that once we know that plenty of disabled people cycle out there, then what do we need to think about in terms of having the right infrastructure or the right kind of, for example, cycle parking?
Cycle parking is the tricky one, isn't it? I sometimes despair when I'm on my bicycle. I don't wish I'd brought my car, but you know what I mean. You look around and you see empty car spaces, and you're hunting around as to where to put the bike, which seems a bit of a strange scenario.
That's right. And then if you were somebody who cannot walk very far once they're off their bike, once they've parked their bike, and there is no cycle parking at their destination. I mean, you might have the option of walking down the road a bit or cycling a bit further and then walking back. A disabled cyclist might not have that option. So unless there is cycle parking right at
So that's an interesting point. I'm just thinking here, in the same way that if you go to a supermarket, there'll be disabled spaces, mother and baby spaces matter, close to the front of the store. The cycle park, I'm thinking of one particular store, which I'm not going to name, the cycle parking could be a little bit further away.
Quite, and that might be quite the right thing to do for the majority of cycle parking. That might be the best place to put it. But just like disabled park, accessible car parking, which is likely to be closer to the front door, then there should be reserved, disabled, accessible cycle parking and mother and baby cycle parking while we're at it as well. So that those people who are finding moving around once they're off their cycle more difficult can have the option of coming and visiting that and spending their money in that store.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like anything, you know, encourage people to come and spend money. They'll do it. But if your choice is between somewhere where there's good parking and a place where there isn't, it's a fairly straightforward choice.
That's right. Picking up on Alex's point earlier that disabled cyclists are often sort of an unseen, you know, most people say, I've never seen a disabled cyclist. And it's just like other disabled people, on whether they are, you know, wheelchair users, etc. There are plenty of people who say, well, there aren't any disabled people around here. We never see them. And that's not because they don't exist, it's because they can't get there.
Yeah.
And it's the same with disabled cyclists. If your cycle paths and your cycle parking, etc., are not accessible, then disabled cyclists will likely not be able to use it. Not that they can't cycle, but they can't use your infrastructure.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and one I suspect we'll come back to sooner or later, certainly much more during the rest of the month on Cam Cycle. It's our charity of the month, everyone. We will be focusing on that a little bit more during the course of the next few weeks. But Matt, Isabel, Alex as well, and in the background, Roxanne from Cam Cycle too. Thanks very much for joining us, and it's now 14 away from 6.